It is Thursday, April 11th. This is Jaguars Happy Hour. Jaguars Happy Hour is presented by the St. Johns River Water Management District. And now, a guy who really wants you to listen to or watch Jaguars Happy Hour. Jaguars Happy Hour may contain nuts, cause football anxiety, draft anxiety, training camp anxiety, or the uncanny desire to kill a deer. Do not watch or listen to Jaguars Happy Hour if you're allergic to Jaguars Happy Hour. Only watch or listen to Jaguars Happy Hour as directed. Jaguars Happy Hour problem? Call 1-999-DTWD. J.P. Shadrick!
It's an hour show. Last I checked. Not much time left. Welcome in. It's Jaguars Happy Hour. It is Thursday, April 11th. Busy hour ahead as we close in on the NFL draft in a couple weeks. But the biggest news of the week, Josh Allen signing an extension with the Jaguars for big money. We'll break all that down coming up. The offseason program is up next. That's next week, Monday. Players officially report. We will keep it real as always. And, of course, the Microsoft questions that were submitted on social media earlier today. That's all coming up. Jaguars Happy Hour brought to you by the St. Johns River Water Management District. Florida's water, it's worth saving on 1010XL. Jaguars.com. Jaguars YouTube. J.P. Shadrick with Jeff Loggeman from the Miller Electric Center in the Hyundai Studios. Good afternoon.
Afternoon, J.P.
How the heck are you?
I'm doing great. Doing great. How long, what is it, 2 weeks from the draft?
2 weeks from today.
Man, it's that time of year.
Coming in hot.
That time of year. Masters is on TV right now. Draft around the corner. It's a good time of year.
There's a lot happening.
Good time of year.
It really is.
OTAs are starting up.
Fine.
Soon.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
I'll be on the field doing things.
Yeah, well, I mean,
at some point.
For the players, it's a big deal.
Yeah.
It is. Yeah, I mean, it's a big deal. I mean, players come back in town.
Yeah.
Working out together.
New defensive coaching staff.
New scheme to learn.
There's a lot of that going on.
Yeah. I'm sure they'll tweak some of the offensive stuff as well, but not as it's not going to be a complete overhaul of the system, obviously, like the defensive side of the ball. That's going to be a lot of change. A lot of new personalities. And some of the same guys.
Including a guy who just signed an extension, five years. Reports of $141 million in change. $28.25 million annually. Josh Allen is coming back, and the number 7 pick in the 2019 NFL draft. It's a massive amount of money, but he talked a lot yesterday about leaving a legacy.
So last year, breaking the single-season sack record wasn't because it was a contract year. Thankfully, it was a contract year, but if it was 2-3 years ago, I would have done it. You know what I mean? But it's just figuring everything out and putting the pieces together, you know, building that confidence back up that I feel like I lost because I didn't live up to expectations that I know I could, you know. So it was investing in the hair, investing into your body a little bit more than what you usually do and being okay with the results that come with it. So for me, it's to, all right, that worked for me. You know, let me do it again. And so, you know, I found out what works for me. I found out my plan. I found out my schedule. And, you know, again, I thank God every morning, every night, and before I eat, that I'm thankful. And I am a humble servant under him. And my kids would be, my wife is, and my whole family is.
So that's Josh Allen yesterday, the full press conference on Jaguars.com. 17 and a half sacks in the contract year, of course, and now 10 sacks shy of tying Tony Brackens for the franchise record. Jeff Loggeman, hey, produce at the right time, and he is here for a long time to come.
Well, and I'm excited and happy to have him just because he's their best pass rusher. And if you don't have the best pass rusher returning, then what do you do? It's like, okay, now we got to find somebody to replace him, and then now – we got to try to get better around everywhere else as well. It's not easy to do. So glad he's back in the fold. Wish it had been done 2 years ago, which I could have told you 2 years ago that you want to keep this guy.
But the production, the numbers might not have been there 2 years ago, right?
I don't look at Josh as that kind of a guy.
Okay.
I don't. And I look at Josh as a guy who's self-motivated, that's always going to do his best no matter what the contract situation is or anything like that. So I would never be worried about Josh. I'm happy for him. It makes me wish I was 25 years old again.
Yeah, makes you want to go stretch a little bit, huh? Okay.
And the money is, I think it puts him, in one of the top five defensive players in the National Football League right now.
It's the third largest value contract of any current NFL defensive player.
Yeah.
It is
big,
large.
It's big money. And, he kind of rolled the dice a little bit. He played last year and I don't want to say he bet on himself, whatever you want to call it. And he did well. He made the plays. He had a great year. And I still believe that Josh was a good player and was having great years and great games before that. Mm-hmm. So, but I'm happy for him. Happy he's back in the fold.
He talked a lot yesterday about last year going into the season was the time he actually found the process that worked the best for him. Obviously, the results were there during the season, but going to Arizona on his own, missing right. a lot of the off-season program, and then just getting right mentally and physically in the off-season set him up for success. So he found, at least he said yesterday, he felt like he's probably found that formula that he's going to follow moving ahead.
And that's a good thing. And I know he also talked about spending the first couple weeks of OTAs here in Jacksonville so that he could learn the new defense, learn and meet these new coaches that are going to be on the defensive side of the ball. And that's smart. But I like that he's going to go back to Arizona where he was at. I mean, if it works for their guy, let him keep on doing it. And some coaches might be a little bit, resentful that a player would go and train elsewhere. But most coaches that get it, if that's what's going to get the best out of the player, then by all means, go. Go do your thing. But I will say this, as a player, you take that a little added risk when you're working out somewhere else, because if you're working under the MEC here, the Miller Electric Center, and then something happens to you and you get hurt, it's treated a little bit differently than if you were somewhere else working out and had the exact same thing happen. So, but that's good. I think that's a great plan by Josh. And I know Josh gave a lot of credit to his wife, as he should have, because here he is flying to Arizona at the beginning of the week or on Sundays and then flying back home to be able to spend the weekend with the family. He's committed. I mean, that commitment there is incredible. And he was very thankful to his wife and she supported him through this whole process. And so kudos to them. And I'm happy for Josh. And he's one of my favorites. He's one of my favorites. And I love the guy. And I love everything about him. He's first class. He's a leader. And he's one of those guys that you always want to end up keeping him around, because he's just he's good for a locker room. He's good for the room.
And he had to go the scenic route in his career to get to this point. Remember, this is a long way from Abbeville, Alabama, when he was 3 years in high school there and then went back to New Jersey for his last year of high school, was like a two- or three-star recruit, maybe a two-star recruit. Didn't have any offers. He was going to go to, I think, the Monmouth. And then Kentucky got a whiff of him because they had a couple of decommitments, and all of a sudden, hey, they had a connection somehow in New Jersey and got a look at his tape, and all of a sudden he's in Lexington, Kentucky, and he was a wide receiver in those years in Alabama in high school too. I mean, that is quite a run from that point to now.
It's amazing. If you go and you look at the history of the league and some of the great players, a lot of the great players have something similar to that. And a lot of people say, well, does that make the player better? I think it does, because a lot of players that they're not these five-star athletes immediately, they feel like they have to do the extra work. So that player learns a little bit higher level of work ethic and commitment and doing the extra things, because they're not a five-star recruit. They're a two-star guy. So I think those people are wired a little bit differently than compared to somebody who's five-star, has things come easy, runs a 4.4 and barefoot in a barred pair of shorts or whatever.
Yeah, right.
Effortless. Those guys typically sometimes don't have that work ethic and the commitment. And so, Josh learned it, and good for him, man. I don't know if I know a guy that's been with the Jaguars that's worked harder. The guy works his rear end off and is committed fully and fully bought in. And I know that Trent Baalke talked about him being a cornerstone piece. Absolutely he is. Those are the kind of players, again, you want to build your football team with.
Whether you need air, electric, or plumbing service, Donovan is always a good call. And they've been trusted by customers for almost 40 years. Trust them to deliver fast, reliable service to your home. We're on 1010 XL AM, Jaguars.com, Jaguars YouTube. It's Jaguars Happy Hour. JP Shadrick with Jeff Lagerman. And now to the part about this new defense that's coming in. Ryan Nielsen, of course, is the defensive coordinator. You know, he's an edge player. We know that. But there were moments late last year. Didn't he line up inside a little bit?
Well, him and Trayvon both did.
And could that be something moving forward, maybe part of a package deal? How do you line Josh Allen up now?
Yeah, I don't see him getting moved inside on a regular basis. I think every now and again is a kind of a change of pace to keep the offense and the offensive line a little bit lighter on their feet because they're not sure what's going to happen, because that's what happens when you move your typical edge rushers to the inside. Offensive line are like, wait a minute, what's going on here? And when I say lighter on their feet, I mean that. I mean lighter on their feet because they're not sure what's going to happen, a little bit indecisive. So, but I don't see that being a mainstay of this defense with Ryan Nielsen. But if all of a sudden you find another edge rusher in the draft, let's say you get Jared Verse in the draft, okay, Florida State, tremendous player. I'd rather have the guy from UCLA, by the way. Latu, is that how you say it, pronounce his name?
Yeah. I know what you're talking about.
He is JP. Watching the film on that guy, oh, my God. I mean, I don't know if I would – I would probably take him
– Latu, that's it.
I would take him like the first non-quarterback. I'd be taking that guy.
Wow.
He's that good. But, I mean, if you had – let's say you added another edge rusher, okay, now you can maybe move Trayvon inside a little bit. He's a little bit better suited to that than Josh. Mm-hmm. I think Josh is more – and Josh is more comfortable on the right side. And so Josh on the right side, on the outside, Trayvon I think can do a little bit of both. I think he's got the size, certainly got the strength to be able to kick down inside. So you wouldn't worry about him handling any kind of power in those situations.
Is Yasir Abdullah going to develop?
That's I hope. Question. I mean, he didn't do much last year. He's an undersized guy, and I thought he needed to be a little bit lighter and more maneuverable, and just never really clicked for him last year. So I'm hopeful this year. I still think he's got a tool set now. He's got some natural pass rush ability and reactions to it. And he's undersized, doesn't have the length. And so typically if you're an undersized guy and you don't have the length, you've got to have something extra, something special. Like Dwight Freeney, Robert Mathis. I mean, those guys were not long. They were a little bit shorter by most standards. But Dwight Freeney had one of the best first steps in the league. Yep. And Robert Mathis had a whole array of moves.
Different level of guy, but Yannick Ngakoue was not the length guy either.
I don't even know if he's not even as long as Ngakoue. And Yannick was not a long guy.
That's my point. Yeah. Like Ngakoue was not that length player.
No, he had a really cool move, you know, that little chop move, which was his That's deal. Right.
So that was the extra thing for him. Not at the big level, Hall of Fame.
Right.
Level,
and he's, right. He's not up there. Freeman, I mean, there's a reason why he's bounced around to a lot of different teams.
That's right. But just using that as an example.
Boy, did he really screw up. He got offered a great contract here, turned it down, and then hasn't been anywhere near collecting the level of pay that he would have gotten with that contract
and
over
They've moved him. He's moved around a bunch of different teams in a short amount of time, too.
Yeah, so. Which is not a good sign.
No.
Especially for a guy that can rush the passer. If you're trading teams and you can rush the passer, what's going on
Something's
there?
Happening.
Something's not right.
Hey, 2 weeks until the draft. We're back in a moment. You've been digging into cornerback tape. That's a popular pick for the Jags.
Well, and understandably so. But I think the big question is there a fit at the top at that position?
Well, maybe we're about to find out when we come back.
I think
back.
We are going to find out here in 2 weeks.
Maybe in about 2 minutes.
Maybe 2 weeks and 2 days.
When you explain it to us after this
timeout.
I got
a few top guys to talk about.
Well, I can't wait to hear them.
Yeah, I got about 5 or 6 of them we can go. We can do it.
Jaguars Happy Hour brought to you by the St. Johns River Water Management District. Florida's water, it's worth saving.
glad we got the deal done here before, you know, these classes start, or OTAs or mini camp or training camp mandatory. So, you know, I'm happy. You know, hopefully the organization's happy and the fan base is happy. But I know myself and my family's extremely happy, and, you know, we're ready to move on.
Josh Allen in a press conference yesterday here at the Miller Electric Center after signing his five-year extension worth north of $140 million. Could be up to $150 million if he hits all the incentives. It's Jaguars Happy Hour brought to you by the St. Johns River Water Management District, Florida's water. It's worth saving. J.P. Shadrick, Jeff Lagerman. The Jags have been nominated for a Webby Award in the sports video category for the 2023 schedule release video that came out last year.
Which was amazing.
So we can't win without you, though. So go cast your vote now at WebbyAwards.com. W-E-B-B-Y Awards.com. Great stuff.
WebbyAwards.com?
Yeah, WebbyAwards.com with two B's.
Webby. All together?
Yeah, and it's like a website. You have to hit it. You type it all in one thing and hit enter.
All right, so when you get there, then what do?
You vote.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I just got to find it.
Yes, it's in the sports video category.
I will find it. I got the website up. I will save it. Now one of my browsers is open, so I can do that later.
That's fantastic, Locks.
That's good
technology
stuff,
is great for you.
The schedule release video was awesome. Now, here's the question.
How do they top that?
Can you top it? That's not easy.
Probably.
I think it can be done.
Probably looking at like early May is usually when the schedule's been coming out lately.
Yeah, after the draft sometime.
A week or two after the draft.
Oh, yeah. But I'm looking forward to that.
That's, for me, that's a highlight. The draft's the
NFL,
fun.
Dude, the NFL totally stole the idea and used what the Jaguars did to promote the schedule league-wide.
They did.
It was total thievery.
It's fine.
Did they call Jaguars and say, hey, we really appreciate the idea that you guys had for your schedule release video because we used it for ours? Did anybody do that?
Probably not.
No.
I don't know. I don't keep score of that stuff.
Could have called them out and said, look, you've infringed on our copyrights, and we want
it.
Is it copyright?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Can you even copyright that? I have no idea how the rules are on that.
But it was total thievery. Total thievery. The star of the schedule release, he's a little bit of an actor. Anyway.
Yeah, Asher. Asher's great, man. He was all over when it came out the other day. He was on like CBS This Morning. They got, you know, shows are coming out, ghost shows and all this stuff. So he's all over the place talking about it.
He was cool. Texting me the other day because he was talking to somebody about this tequila that we were kind of was our lucky bottle of tequila for the road 2 years ago.
Okay.
He ended up having them, they ended up sending him a bunch of free bottles of tequila.
Of course.
I'm like, Asher, I was like, wait a minute, hey, where's ours?
Yeah.
Come on.
You know the address to the stadium.
That's right.
Asher. All right, so, anyway. But the schedule release is kind of like when it gets real for me. You can schedule out what you're going to do from August until hopefully February. You know, once the schedule.
Just not in OTAs at all. You like the schedule release.
Schedule release, and here we go. Off and running. Draft is coming up, of course. 2 weeks away. And week by week here, we're going through some position groups that could be in play for the Jaguars. Mm-hmm. Well, last week, quarterback we went through, but that's not quite in play for the Jags. Cornerback, though, certainly could be. It's been mocked to the Jaguars a good bit, and we've kind of narrowed it down to a few you've watched on film. You've watched a bunch on film.
Mm-hmm.
Let's start with Quinyon Mitchell.
Okay.
Toledo. It's a name that's been mocked to the Jags a lot. What do you like? What do you not like? What have you seen?
Real quick, before we get to Quinyon Mitchell, the reason that we started with the quarterbacks, even though the Jaguars are not in the market for a quarterback, is because that impacts the draft, especially if you're the Jaguars, which, you know, you're right in the middle of the first round. You've got a quarterback that you believe is a franchise guy. And so this opens up a lot of possibilities for the Jaguars because there could be four, five, maybe six quarterbacks picked ahead of them. So now that's pushing down a lot of top-tier talent down to the Jaguars. And they're going to have their pick of a number of guys. I think that they will have their choice of the best corner on the market. In my opinion, I think that's Quinyon Mitchell. I think he's got the only question mark about the top two guys that I'm going to talk about is that neither one of them played a bunch of bump and run man coverage. And in the NFL, all defensive coordinators want to have somebody that plays bump and run so that they can play a style of defense that is more beneficial to them, and that typically will include somebody that can play really good man. And Quinyon Mitchell and Cooper DeJean, did I say that properly?
Yes, from Iowa.
Yeah, neither one of these guys, which these are my top two corners, neither one of these guys have played a ton of man. Both of these guys, especially Quinyon Mitchell, he plays a lot of off coverage, three deep coverage. But, man, he's got great reaction time. He's got great speed, very good physical tackler. Though he checks a lot of the boxes. Again, you're always trying to forecast or predict or project an athlete that's playing at the college level to what he can be in the NFL. And so there's a little bit of projection involved, I think, with both of these guys because they didn't do what you'd like to have a top cornerback do, which is play bump and run. But I love Quinyon Mitchell, JP. He's my best corner on the board, in my opinion.
DeJean, and then...
DeJean, super good tackler. I mean, super good tackler. Great ball skills. I mean, if the ball's in the air, he turns into a wide receiver, and it's very natural. The way sometimes, you know, the head turns, some guys get lost. He doesn't get lost. He becomes not only a receiver, but also still has the ability to remain a defender. So, in other words, if he can't catch it, he's got the awareness to break the ball up. And he's got a lot of size, just similar to Quinyon Mitchell, probably a little bit bigger than Quinyon Mitchell. But again, he's played a lot of zone at Iowa. But super great tackler, physical player, aware player, great ball skills. I think he's got a lot of upside.
And then another that you wanted to touch on today from Alabama, Kool-Aid McKinstry.
Love the name, Kool-Aid. I'm drinking the Kool-Aid on this one, man.
You like this one?
I like him because, you know, Alabama's got another guy, and Terrion Arnold. Yep. Did I say that right?
The opposite corner.
And so you have one and three, okay? Terrion Arnold is number three, and Kool-Aid is number one. And so when you watch Alabama, you got to pay attention to both of them as well as Dallas Turner and everybody else because you're watching a ton of guys who you're sitting there rewinding the film 10 times because you want to watch everybody on that defense that's a draftable player. But I really believe that Kool-Aid's the better of the two. There are some prognosticators that believe that Terrion Arnold is the higher-rated one, not in my book.
Why so?
Because Kool-Aid plays man, and he is right there. So if you're the wide receiver, he is right there in the hip pocket of the wide receiver everywhere he goes. He's got a very, very strong ability to do that. So if you're looking for a guy that's going to play man, he's not super big, but he's got, I think, decent size. I like him. I think he could play some great football for a team that's asking their corners to play man. I think he's got that talent.
Well, the Jaguars in their history have drafted three first-round cornerbacks, Fernando Bryant, 1999.
2-5, that's Fernando Bryant.
Out of Alabama, 2016, Jalen Ramsey, of course, out of Florida State. 2020, C.J. Henderson, out of Florida.
That was a terrible draft pick.
So Henderson didn't last. Ramsey didn't finish his deal here either. He got traded.
The whole thing with drafting the guy from Florida, wasn't it?
C.J. Henderson.
C.J. Henderson.
Yeah.
I mean, you remember after he was drafted, it was almost looked like he was not happy.
The reaction
was terrible.
Told the tale.
It started bad and it ended bad. And in between, it was not good.
No, it was far from it.
It was just not a good pick.
So the Jags, at least historically, have, I don't know, how was Bryant? Bryant's pretty good.
Fernando Brown's a good player.
Yeah, good player.
Yeah, 2-5. 2-5's a good player now.
Yeah.
And
Ramsey was a good player.
Jalen's a great player.
Yeah.
Great player. I mean, just, you know, the personality of Jalen didn't work here, and it was better for him to go to other places, I guess. But excellent player, and what I loved about Jalen is Jalen, when he wants to be, he's so physical.
Yes.
So physical. And superior talent. You know, there are certain guys that play the game that they just have superior talent. Jalen Ramsey is like one of those guys at corner. The safety for the Chargers, James, Florida State guy. Gosh, Derwin James. Derwin James is like a freak athletic, super strong, super fast. I mean, Derwin James, Jalen Ramsey. I mean, these are guys that just they're physical freaks, and they don't come along very often. They just have superior ability. And they're fun to watch play.
But you got to hit. You got to hit this first round. If you're going cornerback, you got to have a guy that can last.
The percentages of hitting in the first round need to be very high for any football team. And if they're not, then you need to look at who's picking them.
Give me another couple names that could be in that mix of these three we talked about here. Terrion Arnold is one of them, right? Possibly.
I think as far as like corners?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, if you look, Nate Wiggins from Clemson's a guy that plays a little bit of man. He's got some size. Not real big fan of his physical presence, tackling ability. I think it's a little bit weak at times. But he's somewhere up in that range. But I really believe, JP, that you got to be looking at those top corners if the Jaguars use that pick in the first round, because I think that they will have their choice of any corner when it comes to pick 17. If not, then it'll be the second best corner.
The Jags are celebrating their 30th season, and the time to get your 2024 season ticket membership belongs. It's right now. Be at the bank for every touchdown and secure your seats at jaguars.com/tickets or call 904-633-2000. We'll return and keep it real.
I'm voting right now, by the way.
The Webby Award voting?
I am. Yeah. I am on that right now, and I am going to vote for the Jaguars schedule release.
The Jaguars, thank you. Keeping it real. Expectations for Josh Allen when we return. It's Jaguars Happy Hour brought to you by the St. Johns River Water Management District. Florida's water, it's worth saving.
But it's about 10, 20 years from when he starts to understand and develop. Oh, daddy, you had me here? Or I was there when you did this. And then we can look back at the videos and the pictures and just, you know, gain those memories back and see how happy we were at that time. So that's what's special for me. And again, it's to create my legacy. And to leave a legacy wherever I go, and they're part of it, and they're always going to be a part of it.
Josh Allen discussing family with Kai Stevens. The one-on-one conversation available at Jaguars.com and Jags YouTube. Jaguars Happy Hour continues, brought to you by the St. Johns River Water Management District. Florida's water, it's worth saving. Well, the draft is almost here, 2 weeks away. The Jags will be on the clock at number 17, unless they're not. They can move back. They can move up. They can just stay there. There's plenty of options. Either way, there's a party at the bank on Thursday, April 25th. The official Duval Draft Party presented by Donovan Air Electric and Plumbing. We're getting the party started at 7 o'clock. Tickets are free. Register today. Jaguars.com/draft party. And there will be a draft radio show that starts from the stadium on Thursday the 25th as well. So a lot going on, as always, on draft night.
Excited and looking forward to it. The NFL does a great job of making the draft a production.
It certainly is a production.
In Detroit this year, correct?
It is.
Yeah.
Downtown Detroit.
Motor City will have a good show, I'm sure.
Yes, they will.
They'll do a good job. But I really enjoy the first round. I really do. I watch enough guys on film to get around – probably three rounds deep total, you know, because I'm watching about five or six guys at each position, so that adds up pretty quick. But I like to see what other people think. You know, once the draft happens, you kind of compare that, what happens, to what you kind of had a mental picture of, to see, you know, was I kind of thinking the right thing, or, you know, do these guys know what the heck they're doing, you know, kind of a thing. But the great thing about the draft, again, it's projecting, and so there's no exact science to it whatsoever. In fact, some people might have a great knack of it and for it that have no experience of working for an NFL team, because some people can see the traits. Some people can see the production and can kind of put it together. I wonder when AI, or if AI will ever have a role, it's got to have a role at some point in analyzing talent, college talent for the NFL. Don't you think that
it'll
that
always
would
be
happen?
Able to do statistically some of that, I would guess, but you can't, computer can't measure heart.
No, but a computer can measure speed and reaction and all of those things, because I mean nowadays they have players wearing these monitors now.
They're everywhere.
And I mean, so what information is not out there? I don't know, but I mean there's a lot of information that AI could use to help spit out, you know, the AI top prospect list or something. I don't know. It's going to be interesting. I mean, AI is having such a huge impact in so many other areas of our life today. Why not looking at NFL prospects?
Why not?
Yeah.
Why not? We're on 1010XLAM, Jaguars.com, Jaguars YouTube, JP Shadrick with Jeff Lagerman. And as we always do on this program, we keep it real.
Pretty much all the time.
Well, certainly in this segment, because it's called Keeping It Real.
Okay.
The topic today, how will Josh Allen handle the expectations that come with this size of a contract?
That's a challenge. I think he'll handle it very well. Again, I said this earlier. Josh Allen is the type of quality of person and athlete that you want to make sure that you get on that second contract. I'm glad they got it done with him. I don't worry about a guy like Josh Allen. I mean, there are some guys that you always worry about. Okay, he's got the money. Now he's not going to end up having the ethic, the work ethic and the commitment to it. That's why you got to be careful with who you give the big money to, because some guys aren't wired to handle the big money. It has an impact on them in different ways. One, it makes them a little bit less. Some guys, it could make them lazy. Hey, look, you know, I've got my guaranteed money now. I broke the bank, generational money. I'm good. And some guys, it doesn't impact them at all because they're an ultimate competitor. And at the end of the day, it's not about the money with them. It's about playing the game at a high level. And I always like what Josh says, because he talks about leaving a legacy. Okay, legacy doesn't have anything to do with money. Okay, when he's talking about legacy, he's talking about performance and playing extremely well and setting a standard for himself. And that's the kind of guy that you want to be able to give that type of contract to, because you know that he's going to react and be responsible and act accordingly.
You know how people are. You know how fans are and should be, because fans need to be super into their football team.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a statistical number that he needs to reach to call this successful, or does that matter to you?
Well, I mean, yeah, I think there's always numbers that you want to attain, and because, you know, look, everybody measures a pass rusher by sacks. And what was it, 17 this past
17
year?
17 and a half, yeah.
And so everybody's going to expect 17 and a half. I'm not going to expect 17 and a half, but I'm going to expect double digits. I mean, I think that's the minimum bar that he needs to surpass, and a lot of it depends on the circumstances. There are a lot of guys that don't get 20 sacks or 17 sacks but have a huge impact on quarterbacks and the passer.
Mm-hmm.
So what's that impact? You know, sometimes it's not always measurable in sacks or pressures. So but I think, you know, double digits, if you're in double digits, man, you're an elite pass rusher. I mean, it's a simple fact. If you're a double-digit sack guy, you are an elite pass rusher in the National Football League if you do it year in and year out. That's the challenge, so, year in and year out.
So 10 is your number.
That's why T.J. Watt is up here.
Yeah.
You know, that's why Aaron Donald essentially anointed T.J. Watt. Now he's the best defender in the National Football League. And Aaron Donald talked about a couple things when he talked about T.J. Watt, and he was spot on. Consistency. Stays on the field all the time, plays running the pass equally well. I mean, those are all the things that that Josh Allen also does. But the challenge with Josh now is to do it again at that kind of a high level. Because TJ Watt's been stacking them, and it's hard to do it at that level.
TJ better than Chris Jones? Chiefs?
It's a great conversation. I don't know if he's better, different position.
Mm-hmm.
I will tell you this. Every time TJ Watt lines up, if the play is anywhere in his neighborhood, he is always very active. Sometimes Chris Jones can shut it down a little bit.
Oh boy, he can turn it on when
he
needs to.
But when he turns it on,
yeah,
he's unbelievable.
Saw that firsthand.
He's unbelievable.
Yeah.
And I think the challenge for Chris is to be able to have more consistency play in and play out for himself. But when he rolls, you're not going to stop him. You're not going to stop him. But for Josh, the challenge is consistency.
Yeah, to get to that point, you have to do it year over year year.
Look, Josh had a good year 2 years ago, but not quite the level that you wanted to see out of Josh. And he was banged up a little bit, had a little bit of a shoulder. First year as a rookie, really good year. So it's just trying to be consistent and have that productivity at a high level consistently. It's hard to do, especially if you're dinged up, you're not feeling 100%, that's a big part of it.
That was keeping it real. I thought we did that today. I think you certainly did your part.
I'm trying to keep it real, JP.
You always do. We appreciate it.
You know, keeping it real, I'm gonna keep it real here.
Okay.
There's some offensive linemen this team could really, really use in the draft.
Really?
Yeah, so a lot of people
go another position group today?
I would not be surprised if the Jaguars go offensive line at 17. Not one bit surprised. I would not be a bit surprised if they go defensive tackle. If Latu's available at 17, which he's not going to be, if he were,
mm-hmm.
and you don't pick him, somebody needs to get fired.
I mean, the offensive line thing, we've talked about this before. Considering the players that they have on that line, there's some veteran players on that line that may not be around here for the long haul.
I would consider trying to trade up in this draft to get Latu.
Should we trade up?
If there was a reasonable level, when I say reasonable, you're not going to get in the top five, and I don't know if he would go in the top five. But let's say that he's sitting there at 10. And can you get to 10 from 17 to 10 to get a guy like
that?
Sure
you can, but it might cost you more than you're willing to give up. And at some point you need some cheap labor. You're starting to pay all this money out. You're going to need some rookie players on your team. Draft picks.
What do you mean pay all the money out?
You just paid Josh Allen, quarterback, and some points coming up. If you just paid a boatload of money to offensive line.
I don't
free
care
agency.
If I'm paying a guy like Latu in this draft. I'm okay with that.
Well, I'm talking about but you need more than just the first round guy. You need like the second and third and fourth players to fill your roster out so you're not paying everybody. What are we doing?
That's what if you draft well, that's what allows you to manage your salary cap because your roster is full of guys that are essentially fixed income.
If you put it all in the first round guy, then you don't have anybody else that are rookies.
But I'm just saying, though, if Latu was available, let's say
anyway.
10.
You're going.
Go get him.
All in.
Go get him. I love him. I don't watch college football during the fall because I watch so much NFL. I can't watch that much football. There's not enough time in the day. Mm-hmm. And so, for me, you got to take a mental break, so I don't watch a whole lot of college football. But watching Latu, I don't know if he's blockable. And watching him against some of the higher-rated tackles in the draft, he's wearing them out. Hmm. They can't block him. He lines up inside, outside. Verse is another one who's really good, by the way. a Florida State guy.
Mm-hmm.
He's really good. The guy at Alabama, Dallas Turner, mm-hmm. I believe his name
mm-hmm.
is.
Mm-hmm.
Where's number 15 at Alabama?
That's him.
I like him, but I don't like him at 17. But Verse, Latu. Oh, yeah.
Well, you're going all in for Latu.
I'd love to
GM Jeff Lagerman is going all in.
I'm just telling you, JP, it's not – I mean, it's just you don't see a guy like this come along very often. He's just – he's rare. I don't want to use that term that we used last week.
It starts with a G?
Yeah, I'm going to pass.
Ends with an iterational?
Pass on that, on the use of that word.
We're back in just a moment. Social media questions, Microsoft questions. In fact, when we return, it's Jaguars Happy Hour, brought to you by the St. Johns River Water Management District. Florida's water, it's worth saving.
Everybody's competing for the AFC South. And, you know, I still believe we're top dogs. And, you know, and I'm going to believe that. And, you know, in my mind, the best defensive front is going to win these games. And I feel like we have a great opportunity to be the best defensive front in our division, which is going to lead us on to bigger and better things. So, you know, I'm excited to get the word. I'm excited to be around the guys again and know that this part is done and over with. And now is to how can we win a Super Bowl?
Josh Allen in his press conference yesterday, the full archive on Jaguars.com and Jaguars YouTube. Jaguars Happy Hour brought to you by the St. Johns River Water Management District. Florida's water, it's worth saving. JP Shadrick with Jeff Lagerman. We're on 1010XL AM, Jaguars.com, Jaguars YouTube, winding down for the day. And time now for social media questions powered by Microsoft.
Nice.
We put out the cat signal earlier today.
Mm-hmm. How many we got today?
Well, here are the three best that we've come up with. Three.
Bring it on.
The answer. Question number one, at VanDiver21. By the end of his extension, will Josh Allen be viewed as the best Jags defensive player ever?
I hope so.
It's not a yes or no. Come on.
Well, I mean, look, I don't think that can be a yes or no answer. I mean, I hope so. I mean, you hope that he stays healthy. You hope that he, you know, continues to get better, which I believe he will. But health is a big thing. And so there's no way to predict good health. Knocking on wood that he stays healthy. But if he stays healthy, I believe that Josh Allen will be considered arguably one of the best Jaguar defenders in history.
If he goes to three Pro Bowls in the next 5 years.
Oh, that's a great argument. I mean, who else is up there?
Who else has five Pro Bowls in their time on defense for the Jags?
I don't think there has
Nobody.
Been one ever.
No.
And who has the most Pro Bowls in the Jaguars' history on defense? An interesting question.
Donovan go a couple times?
I don't think he did because, you know, Donovan was kind of a tackler.
Brackens didn't go, did he?
I don't think Brack went, you know. I want to say Jalen went a couple times.
Yeah. Yeah, he went certainly, yeah, once. At least once
or twice. I mean, that's a great question. That might be a good trivia question.
He might already be tied for the most at two.
But yeah,
Calais?
Calais.
Was here only 3 years.
You think of the best Jaguar defenders in history, Rasheen Mathis. Oh,
Rasheen is in that conversation.
Tony Brackens, Calais for a short period of time. Obviously, Darryl Smith I would put up there.
But they weren't getting the NFL accolades with that.
I try not to use that as a measuring stick because Jacksonville is smaller market, doesn't get the national exposure. So you can't compare Pro Bowls with a guy that's played in Jacksonville versus a guy that maybe has played in New York.
Okay.
It's very different. And that's why I think if you're an agent, I think I'd be less likely or you'd want to be less likely to tie that type of recognition to incentives. You would like to have it maybe in another way, reachable incentive instead of Pro Bowls because this is a small market. You know, the team hasn't been great. The exposure hasn't been high. And you need exposure. And you need to be a good football team to gain those type of accolades.
Next question, at JFix88. Which is more likely to happen? The Jaguars trade up in the draft to get a top receiver, or they trade for a top veteran receiver such as Higgins, Ayuk, etc.?
I don't know if they necessarily have to trade up, but I think a wide receiver in the draft is definitely going to happen. And I think it's going to happen fairly high, whether it be in round one or round two. I think that there could be a wide receiver taken. I don't think that they're going to trade up. I don't think this is a draft that you want to trade up.
You just said you would give the bank for life.
That's the only guy.
That's it.
Huh? That's the only guy I would do it for. Unless I was in need of a quarterback, then obviously I would.
Then that's different, right?
I would give up a ton to get a Caleb Williams or a Drake May or
whatever,
or right. You know, one of those guys. But I haven't watched anybody that I'd sit there and say, yeah, you know what, I'm willing to give up a lot. Now the two top wide receivers, which Marvin Harrison Jr. is really good, but you know the one guy that I really like is Malik Nabers. He's special. There's a lot of teams that think that people think that Marvin Harrison Jr. is a slam dunk first wide receiver pick overall. I don't know about that.
He's good.
I think there's
Boggs, he's really good.
I know, but I mean, look, Nabers really is pretty good.
Yeah, he's really good too. But
you turn on the film and what that guy does, I mean, he just gets great separation.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the name also brings a little bit more attention to Marvin Harrison Jr. As it should.
He's really good, though.
I know. I'm not saying he's not. Really good. I'm just saying is that Malik Nabers is really good, too.
Yeah.
Really good. You know? So I don't know. It's a great debate.
We'll find out in about 4 or 5 years, maybe. At Dantony Wilk is our final question today. Jeff, if you had to guess, what is the first down starting lineup on the defensive line? Is Armstead going to play 3 technique on first and second down?
Yes.
Okay, and now what's the starting lineup on first down?
You know, if you're playing a 4 down, which I think they're going to play some 4 down this year. Trayvon at left end, Devon Hamilton at nose, Eric Armstead at 3, Josh at the right defensive end, and then your 2 linebackers, which Foye and Devin. And then the corners with Tyson, Antonio Johnson will be at one safety with
Cisco
at the other one. And then the other corner, you know, we'll see what happens
may
in
not,
the draft.
May not be on the roster yet.
May not be.
And the nickel will be one of the guys they signed in free agency, most likely.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. Unless somebody develops. You might get somebody in the draft, too. You never know. Look, and here's the reality, too. Antonio Johnson can play safety. And he can play nickel.
Right.
So, yeah. I mean, great positional flexibility with him. Very similar to Hamilton, Kyle Hamilton in Baltimore. He's got a similar skill set.
That's saying something. Kyle Hamilton can play.
I know he can play. I think Antonio Johnson can play too. And it, I mean, it,
Hamilton is everywhere.
My hope.
Well,
what round was he?
I don't know.
Fifth?
Something ridiculous.
Okay, because we had this discussion about who was the best late round pick in Jaguars history, and Telvin Smith's name popped out of my into my mind. And
No. Kyle Hamilton was a first round pick. You're talking about Antonio Johnson.
Yeah, I'm talking about Antonio Johnson. I knew Kyle Hamilton was a first round pick. Come on, JP. First round pick of the Baltimore Ravens.
What are you talking about? That's what I thought.
Many people thought he should be the first overall pick of the draft.
Antonio Johnson, 5th round pick.
Okay.
Yeah.
We had this discussion, I think it was last week, wasn't it?
About it was.
Okay. And I'm mistaken. I should have said, and I believe this, I believe Antonio Johnson will go down as one of the best late-round picks the Jaguars have ever had. Write it down.
But you got to go play.
No, I know he's got to go play, but I'm just telling you. That
he was hurt. Remember, he hurt his hamstring
early. Had a hamstring
early
in camp, and then he ended up missing the first, you know, probably month of the season, and they slowly worked him back in.
Yeah.
But I'm just telling you what I'm seeing, and I'm seeing a guy that's got he's got a tremendous skill set, and I think he's going to have a huge impact with his football team, and I think he's going to end up being one of the best late-round picks in Jaguars history.
There you have it. The social media questions powered by Microsoft are in for the day, and that will about do it for our show. Congrats again to Josh Allen signing his extension, 5-year deal, boatload of money.
So is he going to buy us dinner now?
I hope so.
One night?
He's always welcome in the studio, let's put it that way. And he will pop by on occasion. And 2 weeks away from the NFL draft. We'll have another show again next week, and then all of a sudden we'll be counting down the days.
And we have a draft show.
And then that's coming up.
We're going to be live during the draft.
We'll do this show from the draft at normal time, and then you guys will have the draft show after that.
And you're doing social media?
I have no idea.
You don't know? Okay.
A lot of stuff.
You'll probably jump on with us at some point.
I'm going to guess so. Yeah. I might just walk over there. Jumping is dangerous.
We'll be in the TV studio. The national broadcast booth at the stadium.
That's exciting.
We're going to have a great view of all the action.
That's Jeff Lagerman. I'm JP Shadrick. Our thanks to Joe Fortunato, David Cho, Brent Reber, and thanks to you for listening and watching Jaguars Happy Hour, presented by the St. Johns River Water Management District.